Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11. We finally get some good news at the end of chapter 11. It's been all a call for Israel to turn to God, to turn away from their idolatry. Idolatry is associated with spiritual adultery. We see adultery, and that picture helps us to see when we put something before God, how evil that is. When someone commits adultery, they violate their own self, they violate their spouse, and they violate the person they're with. Amen? We might as well hit on adultery while we're here to keep us away from that sin. Chapter 11, we see the faithfulness of God's love for the people of God. Hosea has been telling us about God's judgment. Now he's going to tell us some more. And then he's going to bring the positive side to it. And he shows us some insight into the nature of God in chapter 11. Let's read the chapter together. When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arm, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with a cord of a man, with bands of love. That's a good phrase, bands of love. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke, give them relief on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He shall not return unto the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because they refuse to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding. From me, though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Adamah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not excuse the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compassed me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. Now you see the last verse here, he gives a compliment to Judah. And that's because at the time of this, we're approaching 722 B.C. when Israel was taken away by the Assyrians, conquered and led away. Judah is somewhat better at the time, but in 587 they're going to be destroyed and taken to Babylon. So at the time, Judah's still being faithful to God to some extent. Now, Hosea, through this all, has told us that God was going to judge Israel because of their backsliding. Backsliding. We ought to know what that is. You ever been backslidden? If you have been, you know what it means. You have went backwards. Now, this is about God's His love for His people. It's about His undeserved mercy that He shows towards us. If any of you have ever been backslidden, I can hardly imagine that there's very many of us that haven't been backslidden, to a degree at least. But if you've ever been backslidden, you should understand that God loves you with an undeserving love and mercy. That He doesn't give you what you deserve. Oh yeah, He gives it to you, but not like you deserve. Can we say amen? Amen. You know the phrase we say, how you doing? Better than I deserve. That's based on biblical truth, amen? Better than I deserve. So Israel was adulterous towards God. And the book shows that God has a stern judgment waiting for them, which is going to be the destruction of Samaria and northern tribes. Now God warns them. He warns them. He warns them and warns them, and prophet after prophet, preacher after preacher have come. But they still consider their adultery is not too bad. Their idolatry is not too bad. And one of the things that is scary about us in America, if we see a little hope and light at the end of the tunnel, it doesn't cause us to turn to God and get the fix we need. It causes us to say, oh, I got a little more time to mess around. Can anybody else see that? Now, what this is all about? What's it all about for us? God's devastating judgment has a purpose of restoration. In the book of Romans 2:4, we won't read it now. I was going to read it. But this is all written for us to learn how God deals with a person that knows Christ. A Christian person that's living outside of the will of God. You know, that can be at any degree. But a Christian that's not walking close to God, there's a lesson in this of how God deals with this type of sin in the life of the believer. You know, Lamentations 3:22, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because of His compassions they fail not. What do we deserve? A lot worse than what we got. But God's mercy is extended to us. And it applies to us. God, and in the midst of God judging these people, this chapter reminds us that God is a loving Father. But He allows severe punishment to come to His children. You know, my dad raised three boys older than me. You know, I didn't get it like they got it. I mean, I had a brain. I did it when he wasn't looking, amen? You know, it wasn't out right in front of him that I did my thing. I was smarter than they were, sharper than they were, and I didn't get the discipline they got. But my goodness, I remember my brother, I've told y'all this, he taught me how to act in church. My brother taught me how to act in church. Say, preacher, how'd he teach you? I saw him come back in after Dad took him out one day. And I didn't want none of that. I didn't want to be humiliated in front of everybody. And that's exactly what happened. He come, I mean, he was 14 years old. I learned from my brother, amen? But God is a loving Father, but He has a severe need for justice. He's a holy God. He can't tolerate sin in His presence. God hates sin. God hates sin so much, it nailed His Son to the cross. That's the severity of God's holiness. God cannot allow us into heaven because He loves us. We have to be purified of our sin. And only the blood of Christ can wash away your sins and my sins, that we can enter the presence of God. Got it? Do we have it? Now chapter 11 is broken into four parts. broken into four parts. We see the Father's loving affection. Then we see His holy desire of discipline. His wrath is poured out. And then after that experience of judgment in Israel, which is an exile that is not even over yet, we see God's restoration of the people of God. That's a lesson for us. Now, first of all, I want to show there's some good things in this that I learned as I studied this. The Father's love for His Son. Look at verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now, this doesn't mean that God stopped loving him. When I first read this, I thought, well, He used to love them, but He doesn't love them anymore. No, He's just backing up and say, I loved Israel as a child. I loved them. And He said, I called them out of Egypt. And then verse 3, He said, and I taught them. You know, as a father, this brought me back. It made me remember when my children were little and how, you know, I wasn't always eager to change their diaper, but I was always excited about helping them walk, helping them learn to ride a bicycle, things like that. And I remember the joy that we experienced in those things and those children's smiles and all. I don't know what happened. But teaching them and things like that. I remember the holidays. God is a loving Father. That's what Hosea says. God is a loving Father that brought them from Egypt, brought them into the world, called them, brought them, and taught them. Verse 4, look at it. He said, I drew them with cords of man and with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on the jaws, and I laid meat unto them. Notice he says, cords of a man. I used other people to bring them to where they are today. You know, God used other people in your life, negatively or positively. God used other people, other circumstances, and God was loving you, and He brought you to where you are today. Can we say amen to that? Cords of man and bands of love is what He said. He said, I fed them. Undeserved love I gave them. But what have they done? He said, they have went away. Verse 2, look at it. He said, they called them, speaking of the prophets, they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. God said, with all this love, listen, I don't think you have been as bad as Israel was. You hear me? I mean, that's the way God's painting the picture. God called them, and the more He called, the more calloused they acted, and the more they turned away from God. That love. You know, the Old Testament is just a history of God loving His people and God's people neglecting the love of God and hardening their heart. Listen, if we don't make an effort to tender our heart towards God, our heart will become calloused. Got to be careful. How are you with God today? Are you turning in the right direction? See, God says, I created them. I loved them. I wooed them. I pursued them. Yet they have went on their own journey. You know, the story of God's love for Israel is not over yet. For 3,000 years, 2,000 years at least, we could say, they've been out. 2,500, they've been out of the land, scattered around the world, persecuted everywhere they go, except America maybe. But God is calling them back. You and I have the privilege of seeing the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. They were declared to go there in 1917, became a nation in 1948, won Jerusalem back in 67 war, and now, here they are. They're going back faster today than ever before. You heard about the thing in Amsterdam where people were persecuting the Jewish people of Amsterdam, and now the Jewish nation flying airplanes and flying those people back home to Israel. Jews belong in Israel. That's their homeland God gave them. We get to see that picture. You know where your homeland is? It's not geographical. Your homeland is walking with Jesus Christ. being faithful to the Lord Jesus, walking with Jesus, reading your Bible, praying, witnessing to others, going to church faithfully, worshiping God collectively as a group of... That's our home. We don't have to go to Israel to be home. Thank God I don't want to go back and live on lamb meat for another 10 days. Now, His loving heart towards them as a father. Secondly, He brings severe judgment, severe discipline. God says, I will not let you get away with that in your life. Look at verse 5. He says, He shall not return into the land. I won't allow him to return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king because they refused to return. He said, and this happened after this, that the Assyrians came in and conquered the land and took them captive to Assyria. Hey, they are bent on ignoring God. Now this gives me hope for some people living in rebellion towards God. You know, I believe there's some Christian people out there. If you look at them, the word Christian don't fit them. But I believe they met God and they know God and they're away from God. I believe they're... Listen, you're going to be surprised who's in heaven. You're going to be surprised who ain't in heaven. That register? But there's some people that know God, and they've given themselves to their idolatry, their selfishness, their self-centeredness, and the sin has just crept up and like weeds growing over their heart and growing over their life and their soul and have them captured. And they would like to get out, some of them, but they can't get out because they've been there too long. Bent on ignoring the love of God, the seeking of God, the preacher coming to see him, other people inviting him. He said, I'm not going to let you go back to the Egyptians. I'm going to let the Assyrians take you. I've had enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. And listen, I don't care who you are, where you are, where you've been. If you belong to him, you're his, you better be careful. Now, the judgment on Israel fell 722. That's the marker point. God will not be manipulated. That's the lesson. You can manipulate God and play games with God. He gets tired of it, and there comes a time that he said, it's done. It's done. You're going to live with what you've chosen. Now, this is true. It's true. We need to realize it. You say, where do you get the New Testament from? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Show you how God deals with the people of God. This is written to teach us how God deals with it. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 5 and 6. It says this. And ye have forgotten. If you are a Christian that's not trying to walk with God, I pray you're here today. Most of them not here. He said, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know, I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you want to figure out why everything costs you so much right now, it's God's discipline, probably. You know why that tears up every time? You know why it tears up? It didn't happen to anybody else. It happened to you. You know why? Because God's trying to talk to you. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because he's talked to me. And I'm going to tell you something. I've always said, God, speak to me through my bank account, through my things I have. Please don't do it through the important things of life. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. If you're back in Hebrews chapter 12, I want to show you verse 7 and 8. 6 and 7. 6 and 7. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Let me tell you something. If you make a profession of faith and you can go out there in the world and live like you want to and you not feel the effect from God himself, you're a phony. You're a fake. You need to get saved. But you, I'm not encouraging you to try it. But if you're saved, You go out there and you cut it loose and you cut free and you do and live like you. You better look out, because a loving father is going to chasten that son. You'll get in more trouble. Listen, I know I got good friends. They was going well, doing well. And they got out there and they got married. And it's been hell on earth ever since. You don't think that ain't God? Oh, the devil does. The devil don't do nothing that you don't allow him to do. It's God that does it. And let me tell you this while you're at it. You got a good wife or a good husband, you better thank God for that too. Say amen. See, we see the Father's love. We see the sin of Israel. We see the discipline of God on the children of God, the people of Israel. And then I want to show you something that I got this week like I've never gotten before. We look into the heart of God and we see the emotional pain that disciplining Israel brought on Him. Look at verse 8 in our text. Look at it. Man, this is fantastic. He says, "How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee Admah? How shall I set thee, Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me." My heart's flipping over. "My repenting are kindled together." We see the heart of God. He said, "My heart is turned over. My repenting, I'm turning. I'm just turned. I'm in turmoil." That's what God is saying. God doesn't want to give them up. He don't want them to go into exile. God doesn't want destruction. Listen, God doesn't want to tear your life down. But a part of construction is tearing down what needs to be torn down. Can we say amen? You know, Jesus told the story of the prodigal son, and this helps me to see into it. In that story of the prodigal son, he's out there. The father, his love allowed him to go and do what he wanted to do. His will, right? But when we see him coming, where do we see the father in the story? The father's been looking for him. Yearning for him is what we see in that picture. That's the Father's love for us when we're in rebellion towards Him. Even when He's allowing discipline to come. First of all, He tries His loving kindness. For the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. And then He says, "This ain't working. We got to do something more severe." Are you listening to me today? I'm trying to help you. As a parent, let me ask you, how do you feel when your children, even when they're old, when they're going through suffering? How do you feel about that? Oh, you got one side, they deserve it. But there's that other side, you wish they weren't going through it. Remember what your parents used to say, "This is going to hurt me more." I never did believe that till I become a parent. And sometimes I didn't feel that way, by the way. I'm sorry. I think of old David. We break the heart of God when He has to discipline us. I think of old David. Remember his son Absalom? Now Absalom was the pick of the litter for David. He loved Absalom. I mean, he loved that. He had all the leadership ability. He had all the talent. He had the looks. Man, that dude had a haircut similar to mine. I ain't going to pick on anybody that ain't got one. But what'd he do? He led a rebellion. You know, I look into that thing, and maybe David let things slip that he shouldn't have slipped. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Absalom, he leads a rebellion. I mean, it grew today. If you read the story, you go back into Samuel, you read that story, it just builds to that point. There's just no stopping. It's got to come to this conclusion. It just seems that way. And so the soldiers went out. In the process, they fought a battle against Absalom and the followers of Absalom. Remember, old Joab put the dart in the heart when he was strung out there in that tree because of his hair. And old Absalom, you know, he was a murderer. Every good king needs somebody that can do the dirty work, I guess. And old Absalom, Joab shot him through the heart, killed him. Man, let me tell you something. Joab loved Absalom before that. But he's a vengeful person. I mean, it's a cut. He's a Matt Gaetz. He killed him. All the soldiers come home rejoicing to the king's palace. The enemies of God are destroyed. The enemies of God are destroyed. David's life is saved because of those soldiers that went to fight that battle. But 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 33, listen. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. As he went, he kept saying this. We get the idea. He kept saying it over and over. Oh, my son Absalom. Would to God I had died for thee. David said, I wish you were king and I wish I was dead. That's a father's love for his son. That's real love, isn't it? You see it? That's God's love. Oh, Absalom, my son. My son. Joab stopped the rebellion, but he had another one on his hand, didn't he? He said, David, if you don't go out there and meet them people and show your appreciation for what they've done, it's going to get worse than it was under Absalom. There's going to be another rebellion. So David took the counsel of Joab, which was good counsel. You don't always good counsel from good people. Sometimes you get it from bad people. And he went to him, went to the people, showed his appreciation. It had to be. But it was bitter. God weeps when you're not walking with Him. When He wipes away all the tears from the eyes, He's going to wipe His own tears from His eyes. Does your life have God weeping? The way we're living right now, is it breaking the heart of God? And let me say this, when we complain to God and ask, why, God, did you allow this to happen? Did you ever realize that maybe our suffering is nothing compared to the suffering that God has experienced? The ESV has a good insight into this verse, verse 8 that I read you that maybe didn't come clear from the King James. It says this, My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. He's saying there that God loves His people with a compassionate love, and there's a warm place in His heart, although you're going through this judgment. That's the way God feels about us. Amen. Now the chapter closes. That was the high point of what I wanted to experience. But then the chapter closes with an assurance that God's going to restore the nation of Israel. He's going to restore them. It assures them that God doesn't hate them. He loves them. But He cannot allow sin to continue. He cannot allow rebellion to continue. The next time you go through the bad stuff, remember God loves you. Some of you are smart enough to know that God's in the middle of it. Ain't you? Ain't you smart enough to know that when it's all going wrong and you're losing and you're not winning, ain't you smart enough to know God's in on it and He brought it to you? Laid it right on your plate? Are you that smart? Add to this. He's allowing it because He loves you. That's God's love. See, His preparation and His purpose for all of this was to bring them to where they need to be. The Bible tells us God's bringing them back to the promised land, and we're watching that take place. So here it is. God loves His people as a tender father loves his children. Then He brings severe judgment for discipline. Then he's full of compassion for them while they're experiencing it. And then he's going to restore the undeserving people. Listen to me. Real quick now, we'll close. Israel still not yet has deserved to be restored. Let me ask you, did you ever deserve to be saved? When you're in rebellion and you come back to the altar to repent, and I remember doing that with tears, and did you realize even with you repenting, you still didn't deserve the mercy and love and grace of God? That's a fact. Understand that. He restores an undeserving people. See, to understand God, you've got to understand Calvary. I don't think many people understand Calvary. See, at Calvary, we see the judgment of God on sin and the love of God for sinners altogether. The judgment and love blended together. God so loved His Son, the Lord Jesus. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus, so loved His Father that He honored Him. But God's love for sinful people caused His Son to go to the cross. And the wrath of God for our sins nailed Him to the cross, held Him to the cross, judged Him at the cross. And the Father turned His back because He became sin for us. The one who knew no sin became sin for us. Jesus was rejected and despised of men, suspended between heaven and earth, rejected. But we see God's compassion for the world and for those of us who have sinned, which is all of us. God's compassion for us on the cross. And we see the Lord Jesus with not only compassion, but with submission. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And we say this all the time. That guy knows what he's doing. Let me say, we only know a little bit of what we're doing. We don't know all of what we're doing. We know not. When we sin, we're breaking the heart of God. We're walking on the blood of Jesus. Still today, God loves us. Will you turn to Him? He loves us. He disciplines us. And He will restore us. The only way out of that is that you don't know Him really. You can be a church guy or a church lady. None of this applies to you. It's not through the church we get to heaven. It's through Christ. I want us to bow our heads and quietly stand. Opportunity of response. If today you would like to return, if you'd like to repent, if you'd like to have God's blessing, if you'd like to stop the battle between you and God, would you come? Would you come? Just find you a spot in this altar and wander you out of place and meet the Lord and have a little talk with Jesus. If you are a child of God with perpetual sin in your life, a perpetual strayer, would you come? Would you come? Amen. Would you come? If you're just starting a Christian life and you're not walking with God, would you come? All right, let's sing, and you walk as we sing. You come to this altar as we sing. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that this become, O Lamb of God, would you come just as you are? If you need to follow the Lord in baptism, you come. If you need to unite with the church, we invite you to come. If you just need to get right with God, if you need to get saved, most importantly, you come. If you need to trust the blood of Christ, you come. Anyone else? All right, let's have our ushers come. Hey, let me ask y'all, do I